Bible is the entrance pass into this place. If you didn't have a Bible, you say, well, I don't need a Bible. I got my iPad. Okay. Take your phone out, whatever. I've discovered my phone now, and it's got a Bible app on it. Troy downloaded it for me. He's helping me out with my phone, and he got it all smart. I had a smartphone, but it hadn't been educated yet. Now it is. And I got this Bible app, and I'm just listening to the Bible all the time. And so maybe some of you have one of those. So get it out. I want to go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 1 tonight. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. I tell you, we're going to go in a great place in the month of February. I can just sense it already. God is speaking. I'm getting some really cool revelation about Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. The angels appeared to the disciples and said, O men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing here into the sky? But this same Jesus who you saw go up will come again. And the correlation between Elijah and Elisha. He said, you can't have this double portion unless you see me going. There's a gazing up that God wants to take the body of Christ into. And I tell you, I'm excited about that. I've been in the Word all day today studying about Bethel and its condition and how it fell under the reign of Jeroboam. And how God knew that the only way to break the curse of idolatry over Bethel, which was the house of God where Jacob offered his sacrifice, was to find somebody, as Pastor Troy had preached recently, the firstborn, who is worthy of the double portion. It takes a double portion anointing to break a culture that has been accepting of sin and common marginal Christianity. So we're just really excited about where we're heading in February. I got a feeling we're going to have some church. Amen. All right, we'll try to control ourselves. But right now, Acts chapter 1, look at verse 1. All right, it says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. I made an account. I've written it down. I've recorded all that Jesus began. Key word, he began to do and to teach. And we talked about the Gospels a few weeks ago and how the Gospels presented Jesus in the finished work of the cross. But however, the book of Acts introduces not the finished work of Christ or the finished work of the cross, but the ongoing work of Christ. And that's real important to understand. If you're going to identify as a New Testament church, if you say, I am a Book of Acts believer, then you have to understand the purpose of the Book of Acts. It is the ongoing continuation of the ministry of Jesus, of all that he began to do and teach. So you can't segment it. You can't cut it up. You can't just say, I'm going to give this part, but not that part. The key word, all. Jesus began. But here's the key about this whole continuation of his ministry. Jesus is no longer doing and teaching. He now is doing and teaching through you and me. He's doing and teaching through his church. He is sitting at the throne. He is been enthroned. He has been received in heaven as the King of all kings. Amen. The Lord of all lords. He'll soon come again. But in the interim, he rules from his throne. That's why marginal faith, common Christianity, cultural faith, however you want to define it, postmodern faith doesn't cut it. Because you cannot operate in the kingdom of God unless you have submitted to lordship. Because Jesus is on the throne. And he's continuing his ministry from his throne, which represents his kingdom, through the Holy Spirit into the church. We are operatives of the kingdom of God in the earth. Jesus started preaching the kingdom, never changed his message. As a matter of fact, you'll find out that the disciples ask, are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They understood that this was all about the kingdom of God. And somewhere along the line, we missed that concept. We have redefined church and we've left out the concept of kingdom. But you can have a dominion without the king, right? So we've got to make him the Lord of our life. That's why it's absolutely essential. And to have lordship in one's life, there has to be a connection with the Holy Spirit. That's the real missing ingredient, missing piece to lordship. In and through the church, the Holy Spirit is essential in establishing this teaching ministry of the kingdom of God. Jesus' life and ministry was totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the connection to the dictates of the throne. So if we want to know what Jesus is saying about his kingdom, we have to be connected to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is hearing from the Father all the deep things of God and making it known and revealing it to his church. So you can then have a semblance, a definition. You can have an affiliation with church and never really hear the dictates of kingdom because you're not connected in intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to lay out a couple of arguments, if you will, of why this is so essential, because we've got to step up our game. We've got to disconnect from stuff in this world and connect in the kingdom of God. We need to begin to disconnect from things that have got our ears, that have got our minds concentrating on things that are below and beneath. And we've got to set our minds on higher things. We've got to set our affections on things above. And notice what Colossians said, where Christ sitteth. Colossians 1, verses 1 to 3. Christ, Christos, the anointing, where the anointing sits. Where the anointing has its origin is in the throne. And you have to set your affections or your mind or your thoughts or your passion upon that connecting place. It's on the throne of God. So therefore, it's all about lordship. It's all about lordship. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. I don't know how far I'll get tonight, but we've got many, many Wednesday nights until Jesus comes. So we'll just pick it up where we leave off, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I used to be in a hurry trying to get everything done. I don't try to hurry much anymore. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of him, or spirit who is from God. But we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Amen. These things we also speak. Not in words with man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We have a people who have acclaimed Christianity, who have identified themselves as a follower of Christ and yet not connected with the Holy Spirit. And we are carrying out good works. We have morals. We have values. We have definitions of faith. We have understanding. I mean, you think about the prophets, and this is part of what I was studying today about Elisha. Those 50 prophets knew Elijah was going to be caught up in a whirlwind. They knew he was leaving. But yet they didn't have the connection to follow him. They didn't have the understanding. They didn't have the perception of what it was all about. What Jesus was saying, when it is important that I go to the Father, that I might send to you the Holy Spirit, he was saying, this is how we're going to operate. This is the mode of operation in establishing my kingdom in the earth. So let me just share with you tonight a couple of points that help us understand the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. Number one, Jesus was born of the Spirit. Jesus was born of the Spirit. Now, if you're taking notes, you want to write that down, Luke chapter 1 and 35. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Jesus was born of the Spirit. Therefore, how are you and I born? Of the Spirit. Our origin is in the Holy Spirit. Christ himself was born of the Holy Spirit. His birthing naturally as God became flesh was by the Spirit. John chapter 3 and 3. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again of the water and the Spirit." So you and I are kingdom people when we are born of the Spirit. Number two, he was anointed of the Spirit. Matthew chapter 3, 16 and 17. Do you not? Yeah, you do have them. Okay. "When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. John told us that we have an anointing. And we have need of no one to teach us. We have a residence upon us. We have a clothing. We have a cloaking. We have a wrapping of the Holy Spirit. And that's when Elisha picked up the mantle and wrapped himself in it. But it's interesting, before he wrapped himself in it, he tore into pieces what he had been wearing. This anointing doesn't fit over your John Mark suit. You've got to take something off in order to put something else on. You know what I'm talking about? We're going to have a good February. I can hardly wait to get there. But you understand, Jesus was anointed of the Holy Spirit. Number three, he was filled with the fullness of the Spirit. He was filled with the fullness of the Spirit. John 3:34. "For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure." So Jesus had the fullness of the Holy Spirit without measure. Number four, he was led of the Spirit. Matthew 4:1, "And Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." Now I want you to begin to put in your mind the parallels between us as his redeemed and Jesus as the Son of God walking on the earth. Now I'm trying to help us understand the need and the connection for the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is what discloses the king's dictates as he rules from his throne. When we walk in that fullness, when we walk in that anointing, when we understand our origin is in the Holy Spirit, when we realize that that is our birthing place, we now have a connection that is going to help establish his kingdom. First of all, his kingdom needs to be established in my Jerusalem, in my life. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." I can't establish his kingdom in Cleveland if his kingdom's not established in 1350 Main Street. You know what I'm saying? I want him to be established in my life. His kingdom to come in me. But it's all predicated upon my relationship with the Holy Spirit. Here's what the Bible says. "As many as are led by the Spirit," they are what? "Sons of God." Number five, he spoke and taught by the Spirit. He spoke and taught by the Spirit. Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed." The kingdom has a message. And the kingdom's message is, oppressed go free. Captives get liberty. The blind recover their sight. The poor get the gospel preached to them. The brokenhearted get healed. It's not all about social awareness or your personal success. It's easy to make it attractive. We have, I really believe, we have in this generation, this last 10 years, worked hard at getting non-Christians in our churches. We worked hard at making them feel comfortable in an environment that they know nothing about. So we have had to change the message. And the only way we can change the message is to disconnect from the Spirit. Because if you stay connected with the Spirit, non-Christians are going to do one or two things. They're either going to get saved or they're going to leave. Because you can't feel comfortable when the Holy Ghost is convicting and speaking and revealing truth. And you're not born again, right? You're either going to have to come up this way or you're going to go that way. So what we have done is we've disconnected because we don't want to deal with the kingdom message that deals with lordship. We want to maintain control of our life. Lordship really is talking about controller. He's the controller. I don't have any more control. I got to relinquish control. And you preach that today in this generation, they're like rebelling. What are you talking about? I have no control. I dictate my future. No, I'm sorry, you don't. It is the king's dictations and decrees that will determine your direction. People say, well, I don't know if I can trust God that way. I don't know if I can do that. I can't let go. I can't allow God to have full reign in my life. Well, then you're not born again. Okay, it's getting quiet, but that's all right. Number six, he cast out devils by the Spirit. Matthew 12:28, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And we don't talk a lot about that either. And we've had some abuses of that, obviously. Some craziness going on in the church. And that's only because, you know, we've not known the word. But the facts are, you take authority over spiritual forces. Over spiritual forces. Number seven, he healed the sick by the Spirit. Not by your shouting. It's all right to shout if the Holy Ghost is moving to say, be healed in Jesus' name. But that's not how somebody gets healed. It's by the Spirit. Here's Matthew 8, verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. So Jesus' operation was always by the Spirit of God. Number eight, he was offered on Calvary by the Spirit. Isn't that interesting? Hebrews 9:14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? He offered himself by the Spirit of God. He aligned himself with the Spirit of God speaking the very plan of the Father. He went to Calvary because it was the Father's will to go to Calvary. If he'd have had his own way, he'd have stayed in the garden. But he said, Father, not my will be done, but thine be done. You know, there's going to be a time. You know you're a Christian when. You don't want to, but you know you've got to. Right? You know you want to touch it, but you can't. You know you want to go, but God said, don't go. You know you don't want to go, but you can't help but get up and go anyway because the Holy Spirit is speaking. How many know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had those moments? You say, I'm not doing it. And God said, we'll see about that. You can always tell you got the Holy Spirit. God's moving in your life when you find yourself doing things you don't feel equipped for. You don't feel educated for. You don't feel like you've got the talent for. You don't feel like you have the time for. And it's an amazing thing. That spiritual equation takes over. And suddenly you're doing things you've never done and knowing things you never studied. And you're able to do that miraculous thing that God, only God can do in your life. Offered by the Spirit at Calvary. Number nine, he was resurrected by the Spirit. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. There'll be times in our life when we feel as though we are in a tomb. Have you ever felt like you've been left for dead, buried, forgotten, covered up, shoved back, pushed under? But you can't stay there. Not if you're connected to the Holy Spirit. Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken or make alive your mortal body. I like that they put in mortal, which means my flesh, my body, the way I'm walking in these shoes tonight, can't stay depressed, can't stay discouraged, can't stay defeated, can't stay in failure. Why? Because the same Spirit that raised Christ in victory is going to quicken, make alive this mortal body. That's why you got to have great hope tonight. Because we are led by the Spirit. We are birthed by the Spirit. We are anointed by the Spirit. Come on, we are called by the Spirit. We are resurrected by the Spirit. And he gave commandments by the Spirit. Now, this is an important quality of the Christian life. Acts 1:2, until the day which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Spiritual commandments. I love John 6:63. It's a life verse for me. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So when I read my Bible in the morning, Holy Spirit is talking to me. I don't see black ink on a white page. I don't see red ink where Jesus talked. I hear a voice. I see it's alive, spiritual. It's the third person. It's God Almighty talking to his servant. I see something in the Word of God. And when he gives me a command, all I do is repeat it. Let me tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said, be thou saved. Right now, be saved. I command you to be saved. You know, when he issues the command, there's nothing in this world that can resist the command. Do you think for a moment darkness refused to allow light to come? Do you think for a moment when God said, let there be light, darkness said, I don't think so. What did darkness do? Darkness had to give up. Come on, look at somebody and say, he's got to give up. Huh? He's got to give up. Number 11. Only have a couple more of these. Number 11. He baptized and empowered his church by the Spirit. Acts 1:5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in the Judea and Samaria, and the end of the earth. This empowerment, this baptism, was to bring the kingdom correction to the kingdoms of this world. That's why in Revelation it's so powerful. The kingdoms of this world have become. Come the kingdoms of our Christ and of our Lord. There's a correction coming to the earth. There's a correction coming to your house, to my house. There's a correction coming to your marriage. There's a correction coming to your money. It's called kingdom adjustments. I think I'm going to start a new business. Kingdom Adjustments LLC. Number 12. This is powerful. He directs and governs his church by the Spirit. I mean, you read Revelation 1-3. He talks about Ephesus. He talks about Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis, Philadelphia and Laodicea. And every command, every directive was by the Spirit. He's speaking to us as a people tonight, right here. He's talking to us individually and collectively. He even has splinters of small groups within this group. He always has a remnant that's hearing what he's having to say. And it's adjusting life. The body life is under a constant change. It's an organism. It's not an organization. We don't have any bylaws that govern our operations. No, no, no. We are alive. We are birthing. We are growing. We are reproducing. We are eliminating some stuff. If you're alive, you've got to do that. You won't be alive long. How many understand that, you know, right? So Christ and the kingdom of God, that's what this whole ascension is all about. It's a type in the Old Testament of Elisha. This is what got me studying this, and Elijah. When Elijah said, I have to leave you. Because if I stay here, you're going to depend on me. It's time for me to switch you over. I want you to think about that for a minute. The church generally has done the opposite. We want the people in the pew to be dependent upon the pulpit. That's not God's operations. It's let me get you to a place where I'm out of the picture. You don't even need me. You just go on, help yourself. You just go do your thing, because now you've got a double portion of whatever I was going to walk in. You have an anointing on you. You have a calling on you. You have a gifting in you. And you're about to do great things in the kingdom of God. Elisha said, I gotta go so you can go fix Jericho. Isn't it interesting? He took him to Bethel and took him to Jericho. And I bet you he asked him, you want to stay here? You want to pastor these people? And Elisha said, no, I'm going to follow you. Because he knew he couldn't fix anything without a double portion of what was on Elijah. You can't fix denominations. You can't fix churches. You can't fix marriages. You can't fix your money without an anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we think that we can figure it out with all of our success seminars on how to have success without the anointing. Somebody help me. That is not the kingdom of God. It is that we are utterly and totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit. I think you ought to just take a little praise break and lift your hands and thank him for the Holy Ghost right now. Come on. Hallelujah. Just thank him for the Holy Spirit. Thank him for the ministry of the Spirit of God, the voice of God in your life, that you don't walk alone, that he never leaves you, never forsakes you, that he talks to you in the middle of the night and he points out the way and he declares to you what you ought to say. Hallelujah. Didn't leave us as orphans. Didn't walk away and abandoned us. But we have an anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Whew. Thank you, Lord. Boy, if I didn't have that, I wouldn't want to come to church. I'd quit church. I'd go do something else. I wouldn't stay in the church, because when I get close to deficient anointing in church, when I get around people who are more fleshy than they are spiritual, I'm like, something smells up in here. You know what I'm talking about. It's like, I don't want to be here. I mean, I love y'all, but you smell. Go take a shower. Take a Holy Ghost shower. You know what I mean? You could tell when you're around that kind of stuff. It's religious and it's bondage and it's flesh and it's all natural and earthy and, may I say, even demonic. But the opposite is true too, isn't it? When you get around God's people who are kingdom connected through the Holy Spirit, they don't have to know a lot. Huh? They don't have to have a lot of knowledge of the Bible. They don't need a resume. I really don't even need to know your name. All I need to know is that you got the same spirit up in you that I've got in me. And suddenly my spirit bears witness with your spirit. And we're hanging out. We're saying, oh, isn't God good? Yeah, he's good. I mean, that's the first time I met Gino. He's sitting right there. I didn't know Gino from anybody. He walked in the church. He said, hey, my name is, I don't even know who introduced us. You maybe just introduced yourself. I don't know. He said, my name's Gino. I said, hey, my name's Lou. You got Jesus? Yeah, I got Jesus. You got Holy Ghost? Yeah, I got Holy Ghost. Man, I like you. It's just something about a drawing. The Spirit drawing the Spirit within us. So it's all about Christ and the kingdom. So in verse 3 of Acts chapter 1, did I read that yet? I didn't read verse 3, did I? To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He's speaking to them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom way in how we live our life. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, this is verse 6, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? What kind of kingdom were they looking for? Dominion over the Romans, right? They were looking back to that natural power and that influence and that connection with what they've known in the past. And God said, no, that's not my kingdom. My kingdom will operate. You have a king. Why are you asking for a king? You don't need a king. I'm your king. But since you ask, give them a king. If they want a king, give them a king. Isn't God good? He gives us what you ask for, even when you know, he knows that you're not going to like it. He said, but they want it. You want meat? Oh, you want meat? Bring the quail in from the south wind. How much quail you want? You're going to eat so much. You're going, I love that quail. How many know God's good enough to give you enough quail to right out of your nostrils? Now you can lift your hand and say God is good. Amen. Be careful what you ask for. Careful what you ask for. John the Baptist, Jesus, the apostles all preached one message, the kingdom of God. It's the heavenly message to our planet. It is the message. There is no other message. It's the message for earth. In the book of Matthew, which discloses Jesus as king of the Jews, it's written to the Jew, the gospel account of Matthew, written to the Jew. And so they presented Jesus as king. Did you know they present 12 parables in the book of Matthew about the kingdom of God? It was a full disclosure of what the kingdom of God is. Do a study on it. You'll be astounded at how the Holy Spirit reveals to the Jew, the kingdom of God, and yet they still missed it. Matthew 16 and 30, Caesarea Philippi. Jesus came to the region there and he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And this is so key in your kingdom connection. Thou art the Christ. I love that response. Thou art Jesus, the Redeemer. No, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christos. Thou art the anointed one. Thou art the one that communicates kingdom message. You are the anointing. And he said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I'm going to give you the keys to the brand new Lexus. To the brand new dream home. To the brand new kingdom of God. That's what it reads. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, it'll be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I'm giving you some authority to operate on earth the way we operate in heaven. And you're bored with church. I'm going, come on, think about it. You see, I mean, if that's all you're doing is going to church, I'd be bored too. But in this environment, we are connecting through the Holy Spirit to the dictates of a king. We have submitted ourselves body, soul, spirit, all our mind, all our strength, all of our energy to his lordship. Whatsoever he says, do it. Mary understood this. She pondered all these things in her heart. I got a feeling she knew she had a supernatural kid on her hands. Surely by the age of 12, she knew. So when they got to the wedding at Canaan, she said, what's up, son? Time for you to disclose some stuff. Woman, it's not my time. She said, look, my need is your time. Their need is your time. And in preparation, declared to them, whatever he says to do, just do it. It may not be logical. It may not be comprehensive. It may not be something that you'll understand, but just do it. Because if you do it, if you just do what he says, it may go in water. It may set for a moment, for a millisecond, as H2O. But if you just do what he says, he's going to take what nobody else can take and make out of that what is the need of the moment. I'm not sure how he's going to do that, but just do whatever he tells you to do. Can you just tell him right now that you're going to do whatever he tells you to do? Come on. Can you just tell him that? I could do whatever you tell me to do. You see, the only kingdom God is concerned about is his kingdom. And you cannot separate the church and the kingdom of God. And that's what we've done. We've separated the two. That someday we're going to be in the kingdom of God. No, you're in the kingdom of God right now. You are a citizen of heaven. Revelation 11:15. There's the scripture I referred to earlier this evening. And so the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. There's a transferring. There is a change. There is a shifting. And church, when you make this commitment to align with the kingdom in your own personal life, it spreads into your family. It spreads into your business. It spreads. Before you know it, you're going to a kingdom church. And you have kingdom prayer meetings. And you have kingdom outreaches. And, you know, you have eternal, lasting effects. It's just not busy work. So the connector to the kingdom is the Holy Spirit. It's vital that each person be baptized, every person be baptized in the Holy Spirit to work the kingdom work on earth. The scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, never to quench the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4:30, said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Two key words. Do a study on them. Quenching, I don't have time, and grieving. Two strong descriptions of how connection to kingdom is broken. Grieving and quenching. If I had another hour, I could talk about those. So you'll have to do your own study. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Let me try to conclude with this. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There's two Greek words for power in the New Testament. One is, and you probably already know this, exousia, which means authority, E-X-O-U-S-I-A. And dunamis, which is ability or power. First Greek word for power not only means authority, but it means privilege. So when Matthew 10:1 was written, it refers to the first. It says that when he had called his 12 disciples, he gave them exousia or privilege and authority over unclean spirits. In John 1:12, he said this, but as many as received him, to them he gave the privilege or the authority to become a son of God. You have to have a certificate of title. You can't just come in here and say, you're a son. Where's your paper? So you have to have authority. Oh, I'm born of the Spirit. Come on in. See, there's a connection by the Spirit. Now, dunamis, Luke 4:14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went about through all the surrounding region. That word is ability or miraculous ability or power. It's not authority or privilege. He came into that region in miraculous release. In Acts chapter 1 and 8, we read that earlier, but that is also the word dunamis, dynamite, where we get the word dynamite or explosive, but you shall receive dynamite. Think about that. I'm going to receive dynamite after the Holy Ghost comes upon me. So the authority or privilege of the kingdom is ours through Jesus. Do you follow that? So I am privileged to be a son. I am authorized through Jesus, through the atoning work of Christ. But I'm deputized. I've got power. Now I have ability or miraculous ability because of the Spirit connection. So now, not only do I have the privilege and authority to walk as a son, but now I have the same miraculous ability that was on Jesus to come on me. So now that changes my prayer. That changes my perspective. I get up in the morning and I say, God, I want to thank you that I have the right and the privilege and the authority to be called your son. And with that right, authority, and privilege, I have miraculous ability that has come upon me. I am dynamite on the earth. I see myself a little bit different. So thus, my lack of ability is never a factor. Let me say that again. Your lack of ability is never an issue unless you make it one. Your feeling of inadequacy and lack of acceptance is never an issue unless you make it one. Because you have been privileged and authorized as a son. Not because the church accepted you. Because there'll be some church folk that won't accept you. You may not fulfill their criteria. But how many know that if you're born again of the Spirit of God, it is God who authorizes you to become a son of God. So you can reject me. It's all right. Because my Father doesn't reject me. He's already authorized me. And here's what we do. We put more focus on people and their rejection than we do on God's acceptance and authorizing of our lives. Well, they didn't accept me. So what? They didn't accept Jesus. Do you think Jesus got up in the morning and go, I can't believe it. The Pharisees rejected me. Do you think for one moment he had to go sit on the couch of the psychiatrist to get therapy because he felt rejected and had low self-esteem because somebody didn't authorize him? And isn't that the challenge that they often issue to him? Who gave you this authority? Well, it wasn't you, honey. That's what he said. Didn't he? He said, it wasn't you. It was my Father in heaven. It's a powerful truth. When we walk in that, we begin to manifest the kingdom of God in our lives in multiple dimensions. Did I say I was going to close with that? I think I did. All right, one more scripture. Acts 1:9. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up this is what got me intrigued. I had to study the last couple of days. What did Elijah say to Elisha? You can have it, but you got to be watching me. You got to see me go. There's such a truth there. I've often read verse 11 as a rebuke. Oh, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing in the sky? You know, stargazing. I preached a sermon with stargazers. I did. I preached a lot of bad sermons. You know, I mean, they're just like, oh, okay, I need to fix that. I hope they throw those. I'm glad we don't use cassettes anymore. They threw all them away. Woo! I'm on record, man. 35 years of record. I have to change some stuff. But I used to always see that as a negative, that they were just stargazing. You know, I just wanted to see T.D. Jakes, and I just want to see all those stars. But that's not what it was. There was a connection. Their focus was on the kingdom. And you know, I'm going to say this. You're going to miss natural opportunities. That if you weren't a kingdom-minded person, you would have jumped at. But because you're a kingdom-minded person, you will walk by them. Because Elisha said, I don't think I'm going to stay here at Jericho. I'm going with you. Bethel. I don't think I'm going to stay here. I'm going with you. Because the kingdoms of this world, none can compare with him. This world can offer you nothing in comparison. Don't you let the devil lie to you. Show you the kingdoms of this world. If only you'll bow down and worship me, you can have them. I said, I don't need them. There's only one thing I need, and that's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And because I have heard, so aptly put, Pastor Troy preaching on the firstborn, I now in Christ, I'm the firstborn, which means I'm up for double, just like Elisha. And you think for a minute I'm going to settle for the kingdom of this world when I can operate in the double portion of the anointing of the Holy Spirit? And you know what he did when he got the double portion? He went back and fixed them. We'll hear more about that in February. It is February, later this month. He went back and fixed them. But he went in the power of the Spirit. And there's a word of the Lord God gave me today up in my study as I was reading that. There are people in this ministry who are going to go back and fix some stuff in your past that you thought could never be fixed. Because your anointing level just went off the charts. Now you're ready. Now you're ready to go do what you weren't able to do before. So you're going to be doing some things that you've never done. Knowing some things you've never studied. Huh? Come on. God is going to open up the windows of heaven. And the kingdom of God is going to be poured out upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Oh, I got to wrap this up. This is the last glimpse of Christ after the flesh in Acts chapter 1. Last glimpse of Christ after the flesh. And the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all reveal the disciples walking after Christ by sight. What they saw, what they tasted, what they handled, all by sight. But the book of Acts The apostolic age had nothing to do with sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. I want you to put it up there and I want to read it together, because this is the dimension of kingdom. Has nothing to do with what we see. Nothing to do with what we hear. Has nothing to do with what we feel. Watch it now. Come on, read it. For we walk by faith and not by sight. That's the kingdom message. And that was what the apostles did. It had nothing to do with what they saw. The Acts revealed the disciples walking by faith after the man of heaven. You cannot separate or operate in the kingdom of God apart from a connection to the Holy Spirit. If you're separated from the Holy Spirit, that means if you're not in the Word, I mean, you know, some people say, well, I'm just going to bury my head in the sand, act like an ostrich. You know, you figure if you don't see it, you don't have to deal with it. Bury your head in the Word. You know, it's still early in this year. Come on, church. Make a rededication to get in the Word of God and immerse yourself in the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit come alive in the Bible. Let the Bible come alive. Say, Holy Spirit, I need you to talk to me. I need you to connect me to the throne of God. And when that happens, you're going to be walking by faith. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ, Corinthians says, among those who are being saved, among those who are perishing. To the one were aroma of death leading to death. To the other aroma of life leading to life. I think this fragrance is about to be released. And it's an exciting moment. We will look toward next week if we're still here. If we're not, we'll meet on the north side. I'll be looking for y'all. Hey, we're over here. I was telling Tina today, I was meditating before the Lord, and I said, Lord, I wouldn't mind if you took me today. I mean, just take me. If you want to take me, I'll just go to heaven. But I said, I feel sorry for Tina for a little bit, but I mean, she'll be all right. So if you want to, I said, well, wait a minute. Only if I'm going to heaven. Because I don't want you to take me if I'm not going to heaven. He said, oh, come on, you're the pastor. Is that a ticket? I mean, no, that's not a ticket. No. Your ticket is the Holy Spirit, right? So we'll talk next time about the unity of the desire for the kingdom of God. See, a lot of you are here, and I'm here, because the unity, the desire of unity of kingdom is bringing us together. We don't even know why we're coming. We're like, Mom's going over there in Valley View. I don't know. Some old warehouse with potholes in the parking lot. That's where I'm going right now. Why are you coming? I don't know. I just feel love. I feel something there. I don't know. Don't really like anything there. I just go there. I mean, I don't know why. You know what I'm saying? But God's, it's an ingathering. Because there's a desire of unity of the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is shifting and moving people like chess pieces and saying, okay, I'm going to corral my kingdom people. And that's who I feel like I'm hanging out with. Every time we gather, I don't care what level, I feel like I'm hanging out with kingdom-minded people. Pastor Tosser, do you feel that way? It definitely is, doesn't it? And that's where we're going to go. We're going to talk about this gazing up. I'm hungry. Are you hungry? I'm gazing up. I'm looking for that mantle to fall. I want to prove it. I want to prove it. And God wants to prove himself to you. When Elisha picked up that mantle, he had to go back the way he came. Elijah opened up the water, and the water wasn't even that deep. You know, in some places in the Jordan, you can walk right through it and never get over your knees. You could almost jump over it in some places. It's not this massive river. And even if it was, he had 50 little prophets over there, little preacher prophets. Let them build him a raft and go across the thing on a raft. But Elijah said, no, I got to show you something. We're about to do something here. So I'm going to make a way. I'm going to show you how to walk in the miraculous. Whoosh. Come on, Elisha. Elisha said, woo, doggy, did you see that? He just busted up the Jordan River. And then he's gone. He picks up the mantle and he walks back to the Jordan. And he said, the God of Elijah is now the God of Elisha. What's this, you little preacher prophets over there? What's this? Kaboom. And he walked by and said, yeah, I got the double portion of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You know, God wants to prove himself to you. Some stuff that's defying you. Jordan's talking about the natural. Jordan speaks of the death. Jordan speaks of all kinds of past. Speaks of barriers and boundaries. I mean, it's all kinds of symbolism. But the Holy Spirit broke right through those things. So get up on your feet. I went 17 minutes too long. I can't help it. I just got back. We were on a little vacation, so it's hard. You know, it's my first time back preaching. My wife took my spot on Sunday. And I'm so glad she did, man. She tore it up. I said, you need to preach more often. You should preach like all the time. That way I can sleep in. I said, are you preaching Sunday? I said, how about if I stay on vacation one more day? She said, no, you're going to church. Right now, if you will, make a prayer out of your own words to connect with the Holy Spirit, which ultimately is your conduit to the throne in heaven. Just right where you are, however you want to do that. Just go ahead quietly, right there. Just talk to him. I need this double portion. I need the Holy Spirit more in my life than I ever have before, God. I need you. I want to get connected to the throne of heaven. I vow and I purpose right now in this moment to walk kingdom-minded all the days of my life. And Father, I speak to the north, south, east, and the west. And I call forth your kingdom generation to come and to gather together as a remnant that will manifest your purpose. That your kingdom in heaven will become kingdom on the earth. I bless the men and women of God in this room now. I bless them in their body. I bless them in their soul. And I bless them in their spirit. In Jesus' name. While your heads are bowed, if you're here tonight and you'll say, preacher, I'm not ready to go to heaven, would you pray for me? I need Christ as my Savior. I need Jesus to forgive me of my sin. If that's you tonight, before we depart, say the last amen. Maybe you'll say, I need prayer. Would you pray for me? If that's you tonight, would you just slip your hand up high enough that I can see it and put it back down? Thank you so much. You could put it back down. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for helping me to see that other hand. Christians are praying around you tonight because you're not here by chance, you know. You didn't decide to come to church. Nobody twisted your arm. God set this up as divine date of destiny to bring you into your purpose. You see, the devil has stolen from you all your life. He's taken from you. He has tripped you up and he has confused you. He's sort of like blindfolded you and pinned the tail on the donkey and you can't even find the donkey. You've been so disoriented by the twirling, turning and the twirling of the life events. But God said, I'm taking the blindfolds off and I'm going to give you direction. I'm going to take you by the hand and you're going to see your purpose for the very first time. So if you're here tonight and you say, I need that prayer, Pastor, I want you to pray this prayer now. Would everybody pray with me? Heavenly Father, I come to you by faith, believing that you are the Son of God who died for me on the cross, who shed your blood that I might have everlasting life. I come to you tonight acknowledging my sin. Ask you to forgive me of my sin and receive me as your son. I receive you now as my Savior and I ask you to save me. And from this point on, I promise to serve you all the days of my life I turn my back on this world. I say no to the devil. And I say yes to heaven. And I say yes to your word. Thank you, Lord, for you have been good to me. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you sincerely meant it from your heart, we're going to have altar ministers here at the front. And they'll be here to pray with you. I want to give you a little bit of material. Just encourage you. Please come and do that. Don't just walk out because there was a number of hands that went up. And if you need prayer for anything else, we're here to pray as well. We're like a full service altar ministry. You know, we pray for anything. It doesn't matter. We believe God, right? Hey, it's great to be with you. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard, right? Don't pick and choose because you'll be found out. Pray hard, not light. Don't love the lovable.